This week, we'll be celebrating Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. On Simchas Torah, we finish the Torah, and usually we read the Parshas Vezois HaBracha, and it is probably the most read Parsha during the year, because everybody gets an Aliyah, and we repeat it as many times as it's required. But nonetheless, since the previous week is Chol HaMoed, it happens that not many people learn Vezois HaBracha. Therefore, I will dedicate this year to one of the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Jewish people, and I will start with the first bracha that he gave to Reuven. On chapter 33, pasuk number 6, the pasuk says, Yechi Reuven v'al yomois, let Reuven live and not die, v'hi mesav mispar, and may his population be included in the numbers. In other words, whenever you count Jews, let there be people from Reuven. The first question is, why does he have to receive a bracha that he should live? You don't find any other tribe receiving a bracha that they should live. And the other question is, if you tell me already he should live, obviously you mean he should not die. It is redundant if I tell somebody he should live. Obviously I mean he should not die. What specific was the bracha that he should not die? We'll first give the answer of the Sefarna, but we're going to expand a little bit on that answer. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Ches Amud Aleph 8a tells that they told Rabbi Yochanan Iko Save BeBavel, that there is older people in Bavel. Toma BeOmar, Rabbi Yochanan was wondering, how is it possible to have old people in Bavel? The pasuk clearly says in Devarim chapter 11, pasuk number 21, and we say in the Shema every day, Leman yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem, that you should keep those mitzvahs in order for you to prolong your days and the days of your children, al ho'adoma, on the land, asher nishba Hashem lavoiseichem loses lohem, that Hashem promised your forefathers to give to them. So we see clearly that the bracha of having long life only applies if you are in the land of Israel. When you are outside the land of Israel, technically that bracha should not apply. So Rabbi Yochanan was wondering, how is it possible that there are older people in Bavel? The Gemara continues, given the relay, since the people told them that Makadme Umachashchele Veiknishta, that they get up early morning and they stay late in the synagogue, Omar, he says, Haina de Ahana Lehu, that is the merit that caused them to gain a long life, is the merit that they sit in Besmedrish. The simple interpretation is that Hashem is giving them Midah Keneged Midah, measure for measure, that since they spend time learning and praying at the synagogue, then Hashem, measure for measure, gives them extra time. For the time they spend, Hashem adds to their life as a reward for the time they set. So their longevity is based on the time that they spend in the synagogue. The Maharsha explains this Gemara differently, and he takes the view that it is literally only if you spend time in the Beis HaMedrash, that's why you get longevity. The Maharsha says that since the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph says in the name of Rabbi Lazar HaKapor that Hasidim Batechnesius Vatemedrashus Shebe Bavel, that synagogues and study halls in Bavel will be destined Sheikavu Be'eretz Yisrael, that they'll be established in Eretz Yisrael, the time of Moshiach, the buildings that you did prayers, the buildings that you learned, they will come to Eretz Yisrael. So we view it as they would be Eretz Yisrael. So if you spend time in the shul, spend time in the Beis Medrash, that's considered as you would have been in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you get long life. Only if you stay in those places, you get long life, because it's tantamount as you would have been in Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, you see from here that when you are Chutz La'aretz, theoretically, you don't have a long life. So the Sefarna explains that since Reuven is the one that asked to have his inheritance Me'ivra Yarden, the other side of the Jordan, he did not go into Eretz Yisrael, so he did not have the bracha of the Torah Leman Yirbi Yameichem V'Mei V'Neichem Alhu Adomo, he did not have the blessing of having a long life for the merit that you go into Eretz Yisrael, since he was not on the land. Therefore, it was required from Moshe Rabbeinu to bless Reuven with a long life, because since Reuven took his portion Me'evra Yarden on the other side of the Jordan, he did not have the merit of being Eretz Yisrael, and the merit of being Eretz Yisrael causes you to have a long life. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to bless specifically Reuven and not the other tribes with long life, because only Reuven was the one that did not go into Eretz Yisrael, and he needed the bracha. Just as a side note, the Gemara Megillah explains why do the synagogues and the study halls in Bavel go to Eretz Yisrael, because they read and disseminate Torah on them all the time. Comes out that if you use your house to teach Torah, to give shiurim, and you disseminate Torah, then eventually when Mashiach comes, your house will also come to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, a person should strive to make sure that they have shiurim and classes, and their house becomes a Makom Torah. Like that, you'll have your house also in time of Mashiach. But going back to our pasuk, the Sefon explains exactly the opposite what Rashi is going to explain. The Sefon says, Yechi Reuven, that Reuven should live, since Reuven chose outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is not the land of Hashem. Therefore, it's not such a good land in order for you to get spirituality to merit you Olam Haba. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to bless him that he should live in the world to come. But on this world, since he doesn't have the merit of Eretz Yisrael and the bracha of the Torah of longevity, we mentioned, doesn't apply to him. Therefore, he had to bless Val Yomus, he should not die, Vimesav Mispor, that his quantity still should have enough, that he should be still numbered among the Jews. That even though he lives now Chutz La'aretz, he should still be counted among the Jews. So Yechi Reuven is Olam Haba, in the world to come. Val Yomus is Olam Hazeh, this world. The Rachaim HaKodesh also agrees that Yechi Reuven means that Reuven should live in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. And he explains that Reuven specifically was required to have a bracha because of what happened on Parshas Korach, which is Bamidbar chapter 16. There we see that Korach, Dosav Aviram, and Ben Peles were from the tribe of Reuven. And then the 250 people, which were people of renown, which were people which were always summoned to a meeting, which means they were important people. The Torah says, Kriye Moed Anshe Shem, and Meforshim explains that these were the Roshei Sanhedrin, they were the head of Sanhedrin, and the majority was from the tribe of Reuven. And you may think that the people of Korach do not have a portion of the world to come. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that Reuven, the tribe of Reuven, should have a portion in the world to come. Even though there's a machlokes in the last perek of Sanhedrin, if the people of Korach have a portion in the world to come or not, the Rachaim takes the opinion that through Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer, the people of Korach that were involved in the rebellion of Korach do have a portion in the world to come. And since the important people of Reuven are the ones that perished in that rebellion, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu titled it Yechi Reuven, let Reuven live, because the tribe is always called in the name of their leaders. Or the Rachaim explains that we know that every time somebody makes a good deed, that good deed not only counts for himself, it also counts for his forefathers, that his forefathers get credit for that good deed, and consequently they get to go to a higher place in Gan Eden, in heaven. In the same way, Lahavdil, like a pyramid, that there's always residuals for the previous families, that since I make a good deed and my father is the one that brought me up, then that good deed counts also for my father and counts for his grandfather and counts so forth all the way up. That's why Hashem, when he judges Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't only judge us, Here he judges all creation all the way up to Bereshis, that anything we do here will affect what happens for our previous generation in heaven, what happens 10 generations ago, and so forth. Therefore, comes out that the fact that so many good people were taken away from the tribe of Reuven, that would cause Reuven's merit, since he's the forefather from the people of the tribe of Reuven, to become blunted, to stop, since they couldn't do any more good deeds, and he wouldn't have the same status as the other tribes, since their people are still doing good deeds and they keep getting credit. So Reuven is kind of at a disadvantage in heaven. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, Yehi Reuven, that Reuven should get merit and he should live in Olam Haba, even though his people lost out and they cannot do merits anymore. In other words, the Rachaim explains, Reuven was required to have the blessing, Yehi Reuven, that Reuven should live in Olam Haba, that even though now these 250 people, where majority were Sanhedrin, were taken away and they cannot perform any more mitzvahs, so Reuven's credit won't get replenished or won't get full. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that nonetheless he should merit still to have the Olam Haba. Every time somebody holy from the tribe is taken away, the source of the tribe, the forefathers, suffer. That any mitzvah that we do nowadays, it actually takes effect to our forefathers, to our fathers, our forefathers, because they get elevated to a higher level by every mitzvah, every merit that you do. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, Yehi Reuven, that Reuven, even though Reuven lost 250 people who can't perform mitzvahs anymore, he should still have the same level in Olam Haba as he would have had they been living. And then he explains that translation, Vehi Mesav Mispar, that they should be counted amongst the counting, is because evil people are not counted, Rishoyim are not counted, praying that Reuven's people shouldn't be Rishoyim anymore, and they should always be counted among the people as righteous men. The Dazakenim Baal HaTosfos explains that the reason Reuven was required to have a special blessing, and he says that also God had a special blessing, is because since Reuven and God, when they made the deal with Moshe Rabbeinu, that they will get their property in the other side of the Jordan, but with the condition that they go in the front and fight the 31 kings and help the Jewish people conquer Eretz Yisrael, and only after they conquer Eretz Yisrael they will come back. So they were the people that were always required to be in the front. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to give them a special blessing that they should have protection and not die at war. And that is also the opinion that the Ramban writes down as the opinion of plain pshat. And he continues that the Yumesov Mispor, that they should be counted, the numbers should be counted among the Jewish people. The Ramban explains that we should come back with the same amount that they left, that nobody should die. Sefer Ponim Yofo is complimented that the idea is that since for 14 years, the 14 years that it was the conquest and the division of Eretz Yisrael, the people of Reuven did not do Pru Urvu, they did not have children because their wives were back across the Jordan and they went to the front. Therefore, they were required to have a special bracha that their numbers should not be missing. That even though for 14 years they didn't have any new children, nonetheless, still, Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha that they should not lose any numbers because of that. The other interpretation is brought down by Rabbeinu Mayuchas is that since Baal Peor, the idolatry of Baal Peor, was in the portion of Reuven, and the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, brings down the name of Rabbi Chama Rab Chanina that asks, why was Moshe Rabbeinu buried next to Beis Peor, as it is written, the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, on the Devarim chapter 34, Pasuk number 6, Vayikbor Oso Bagai, that they buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the Gai, Beretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Mul Beis Peor, opposite Beis Peor, opposite the idolatry of Beis Peor. So Rav Chama Bar Chanina asks a question, why was Moshe Rabbeinu specifically buried next to this Avodah Zarah of Beis Peor? So the Gemara answers, "Kedei lechaper al masa peor," to atone for the action that we did on the peor. Baal peor was the sin described in the end of Parshas Balak, where the Jewish people committed idolatry and also committed immorality with the daughters of Moab. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is buried next to Baal Peor. Tosfos in the Gemara brings a Medrash Agada, a Medrash which states that every year on the anniversary of the sin, the Peor, the Avodah Zarah of Peor, ascends to heaven in order to recall the guilt of the Jewish people. However, when he sees Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, it goes back down. We see from here that this Avodah Zarah is a very powerful Avodah Zarah, that one of the reasons that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried next to Baal Peor is specifically to keep the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor in check, that he shouldn't be able to criticize the Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, knowing that, and knowing how powerful this Avodah Zarah is, and knowing that this Avodah Zarah is going to be in the portion of Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically wanted to give Reuven a bracha that he should be able to withstand the power of this Avodah Zarah. Therefore it says, Yechi Reuven ve'al yamuz, that Reuven should live and not be susceptible, not lose people because of this Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor. And that could also be the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu blessed Reuven first, since Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be buried next to Baal Peor, and Reuven is going to be the neighbor of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Reuven is going to be able to withstand what influences Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to quell, is trying to block, and therefore he wanted to give a bracha first to Reuven, that Reuven should not fall for the idolatry of Baal Peor. Even though I just said that Baal Peor was in the portion of Reuven, and Moshe Rabbeinu is buried right next to Baal Peor, which seems to be that he should also be in the portion of Reuven, yet the Pasuk on chapter 33, Pasuk 21, where he's talking about God, there it says, Vayare Shisloi, and he chose the first portion for himself, Kishom Chelkas Mechoikak Sofon, because there the lawgiver's plot is hidden. And Rashi explains who is the lawgiver's plot, that means Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in the territory of God. And we just mentioned that he's buried in the territory of Reuven, or Baal Peor is in the territory of Reuven, and Moshe Rabbeinu is right next to Baal Peor, so theoretically he's also in the territory of Reuven. This is already the question of the Sif Sechachomim. Sif Sechachomim asks a question of Rashi. How can Rashi say that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried on the tribe of God when the Pasuk tells you clearly on chapter 33, where Hashem tells him to go up and to Mount Nebo, and we know from Parshas Matos that Mount Nebo was in the portions of Reuven, because there on chapter 32, Pasuk number 38, the Pasuk says that the children of Reuven built Ves Nevo and Nevo. The Sif Sechachomim asks a question, how can Rashi say that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried on the tribe of God? That's why God chose to have his portion outside Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be interred in his portion, where he clearly says that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Mount Nebo, and Mount Nebo theoretically is part of the tribe of Reuven. The Sif Sechachomim explains that Nebo is a town, and Nebo is a valley, and Nebo is also a mountain. The valley of Nebo is very large, and the mountain was right next to it. So the city of Nebo, which was in the valley, that belonged to the tribe of Reuven. But the mountain, which was called Mount Nebo, belonged to the tribe of God. So according to this interpretation, it could be really that the Baal Peor was in the tribe of Reuven. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu could have been buried right next to it in the tribe of God. Sefer Rechoves HaNor asks the question also, why is it written redundantly, Reuven should live and not die automatically if somebody lives? Obviously he doesn't die. Sefer Rechoves HaNor explains that there is two kinds of living. One is living of the body, that a person has wealth, has honor, and everything that he wants, he gets, and he does everything to make good for his body, has good food and everything else, and that is physical living. And the second is the life of the soul, that he has a spiritual life, that he has a life that's completely, if avoid the Hashem, if service Hashem, and he fears Hashem and is connected to Hashem. The Gemara in Tumit, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, brings down 10 things that Alexander the Great asked the rabbis, and two of the questions are directly related to what we are going to say. The Gemara says that Alexander the Great asks, Mayavet Inish Veichye, what should a person do that he should live? Omrulei, the rabbis answered, Yomis Atzmoi, the person should kill himself, meaning that a person should not indulge himself excessively in physical pleasures, then he won't have trouble to learn Torah, and his spirituality will be enhanced. Then he asks a question, Mayavet Inish Veyomus, what should a person do and he should die? The rabbis answered them, Yichayes Atzmoi, he should do the opposite, he should live himself. In other words, if you indulge yourself in physical pleasures, that will cause you to die a spiritual death. And if you would like to have a spiritual death, in other words, you don't want to be connected to spirituality, the best way to achieve that is for you to enhance your physicality, indulge in physical pleasures, that will cause your spirituality to die. Meforshim explain that since the guf and the nefesh, since the spiritual and the physical are always in conflict, one comes from the heaven and the other one comes from the earth, and each one is jockeying for position, the only way for you to gain on one is to lower the other. If you want to enhance your spirituality, the only way to do it is to degrade your physicality, to lower your physicality, you lower your intake of physical pleasures. That is the only way for you to enhance your spirituality. And the opposite, if you engage more in physical pleasures, then automatically your spiritual health will suffer. And as a side note, that is how Rav Kook explains in his Sefer Ayin Ayah, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei Omed Beis 5b, where the Gemara there discusses Yesurim Shahava, pains of love, where the question is, what does it mean, pain of love? Whoever heard somebody to give pain to somebody else because of love? The simple interpretation is that Hashem gives you pain, not because you deserve the pain, because Hashem wants you to get a greater reward in the world to come. Therefore, for your suffering, you are going to get greater reward in the world to come. Because it can't mean that your pains are going to expiate for some sins, because then that wouldn't be pains of love. That would be pains because of your sins. But Rav Kook is still bothered. Why does Hashem give you the pains? What is the purpose for these pains? Rav Kook explains, a lot of times you are caught in a plateau where you are comfortable in your religious observance, you are comfortable in the balance that you have on what you perform, how you do things, and yet Hashem wants you to grow more, Hashem wants you to enhance your spirituality, Hashem wants you to keep on growing. So Hashem will send you pains, and that pains will cause your physicality to become lowered. Once your physicality is lowered, then your spirituality could be enhanced, your spirituality will grow. So Hashem will give you pains, and that pains is called pains of love, because Hashem only is doing it because Hashem loves you, and because Hashem wants you to get to a higher level than you are. Not because that you are doing something wrong, but Hashem wants you to get to a higher level. Therefore, He degrades your physicality in order for you to get to a higher level spiritually. Going back to our interpretation, we see from here that since both of them are always in balance, then automatically it's almost impossible for a person to get spirituality and physicality in one place. It's impossible for a person to enjoy his food, enjoy the pleasures of this world, wealth and honor, and also become spiritually connected to Hashem. But yet, there are certain people that could do that. There are certain people that are able to live in this world, live a physical world, and yet not die in the world to come. They're able to be still connected. Sefer Chovos HaNor explains that this is exactly the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Reuven, since Reuven was the Bechor, the firstborn. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha, gave him a blessing. Yechi Reuven, he should live in this world, that he should have the physical pleasures, he should have wealth, honor, and all the good delicacies. And yet, Velo Yomus, he should not die a spiritual death, not like the elders told Alexander the Great, that they should be from those people that are able to get both tables. They're able to get honor and they're able to get spirituality. it's very hard to get both, but there are few people, and the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Reuven is that his tribe should marry to have both. And also, even though normally it's only very few people that are able to get there, only few people are able to get physicality and yet not corrupt their spirituality. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu gave an additional bracha. He says, "Vehim isav mispor," that the numbers should be counted in numbers, that shouldn't be just a few, that they should have vast numbers of them, and they all should have the pleasures of this world and also be spiritually connected in the world to come. Rashi comments on this pasuk, Yechi Reuven, Reuven should live Boilam Hazeh in this world, Val Yomus, he should not die Lo'olam Haba in the world to come. Rashi says, Shelo Yizkar Lo'i Ma'asa Bila, that Hashem should not remind or not remember to Reuven the story of Bila. The story of Bila is described on chapter 35, pasuk number 22. There it says, it was in the Jewish people when Yaakov was in the land of Israel. Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went. Vayishkav es Bila, Pilegesh of Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father. Vayishma Israel, and Israel heard. Israel meaning Jacob. Jacob heard. It doesn't mention any reaction that Jacob may have had from this situation. But right afterwards, the pasuk says, that the children of Yaakov were 12, which the Gemara tries to imply that Reuven's sin was not so great, because otherwise the pasuk would not put them together with the other tribes. And Rashi continues, Vayim esav mispor, that the people of Reuven should be counted among the other tribes. He says it means the same thing that it mentioned by Reuven when he did the sin against Yaakov, that he was counted there also, like I mentioned, that the children of Yaakov were 12, that here too, Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that the children of Reuven should always be counted amongst the Jewish people and never do something bad that would cause them to be separate. And the Ramban concurs with Rashi. The Ramban says that the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu had to give to Reuven is that the anger that the father felt on him should not cause suffering to the children of Reuven at any time in their lifeline. There is a Medrash Rabbe on that pasuk on Parshas Vayishlach. The Medrash Rabbe says, Omar Yaakov leRuven. Yaakov told Reuven, Ani eni mekarvecho veni merachecho. I cannot make you close. I'm not forgiving you, and I'm not distancing you. I'm not pushing you away because of what you did. Atche ba Moshe, until Moshe came, the Omar, he says, Yechi Reuven v'lo yamus, that Reuven should live and not die. It's a perplexing medrash, and it's very hard to understand the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu saying Yechi Reuven v'lo yamus and Yaakov Avinu forgiving Reuven. We could explain simply that Yaakov Avinu really wanted to punish Reuven, but he saw in the future that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give a bracha to Reuven, so he didn't want to contradict Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore Yaakov Avinu tells Reuven that it is really not up to me. If it would be not to me, I don't know what to have done. But since Moshe Rabbeinu already blessed you, let it become blessed. To answer this medrash, we're going to introduce the idea first of what is the status of a Jew before the Torah was given. Does the Jew have a status of a Ben Noach, of a Noachite, of a non-Jew? Because since the Torah wasn't given yet, we have no obligation to keep the Torah, we could only do it voluntarily, or do we have the law of a Israel, of a Jewish person, since we are children of Yaakov, we are Bnei Israel, and we were circumcised since Avraham Avinu, we have the law of a Jew. And this question, before Hashem explained, is really what Yaakov was unsure of. Yaakov was unsure if we have the law of a Jew, or we have the law of a Ben Noach. Therefore, the pasuk on Parshas Vayeshev, chapter 37, pasuk number 29, there it says at the sale of Yosef, Vayoshev Reuven Alabar, that Reuven came back to the pit. Rashi asks a question, where was Reuven at the time of sale? So Rashi, in the second answer, brings down that Reuven was involved, Besakoi Vatanisoi, he was fasting because he moved the father's bed, because he did what he did to Yaakov, so he was busy fasting and repenting on that. So much so that I mentioned the Medrash Rabbah, which brings that Hashem told Reuven, Ata potachto b'tshuva tchila, you started doing tshuva first, chayecho, I swear to you that your great-grandson Hoshea is going to start doing tshuva for the Jewish people, he's going to cause the Jewish people to do tshuva first, and he's the one who's going to say, Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecho, the Jewish people repent to Hashem. So we see from here that Reuven did tshuva. The question if tshuva works will also depend if we are category of Ben Noach or we are category of Israel of Jews. Because if you are a category of Noachite, theoretically tshuva should not work. Why? Because every time we sin, we are kind of insulting Hashem. We are infringing in Hashem manner. Hashem tells us to do something, we go against His word, we contradict what He says, and we are thereby insulting Hashem. And we have a rule derived from the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph 17a that Melech Shemachal al Kvoidoi, that if a king wants to forgo his honor, Ein Kvoidoi Machal, he is not allowed to forgo his honor. A king is not allowed to forgo his honor because he's a king over the whole nation. He cannot forgo his honor. Therefore, since it's written Ki Melech al Kol Goyim Hashem, that Hashem is king over all the nations of the world, therefore, if we sin, theoretically, tshuva, repentance, would not work. Since we are subjects of Hashem, if we are in the category of Ben Noach, of Noachite, then we insult the king, and the king is not allowed to forgive us, even if we do tshuva. Even if we repent, the king's honor is not allowed to be forgiven. But if you are the category of children of Hashem, and on children, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph writes down, Ha'av shemachal al kvoidoi, kvoidoi machal, that if a father forgives his honor, then he's allowed to forgive his honor. A father is entitled to forgo his honor when it's talking about his children. Therefore, if that is true, then tshuva would work. If you would repent, since we kind insulted our father in heaven, by making our sin, but yet, since he's our father, he's entitled to forgo his honor, then he could forgive us if we repent. Now we'll see. If we are in a category of a Ben Noach, of a Noachite, since it's written Ki Melech al Kol Goyim Hashem, that Hashem is king over the whole world, comes out that a Noachite cannot do tshuva, and his tshuva cannot be accepted. But if we are in the category of Israel, the pasuk brings down Bonim Atem LaHashem, that you are children to Hashem, then we are children, and then our tshuva will be accepted. So Yaakov Avinu did not know how to resolve this situation. He didn't know if you are considered children of Hashem or you are considered subjects of Hashem. And we know Reuven did tshuva. Therefore, we have to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to decide what category we have. And for Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, we could see clearly that he decided that we have the category of a Jew. The first action that Moshe Rabbeinu did is on Parsha Shmos. Parsha Shmos, there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he became older, he went to see his brethren. And on chapter 2, Pasuk number 11, there he saw a person hitting a Jewish man. And he saw Vayar Kenish, he saw there is no people, Vayachas HaMitzri, and he killed the Egyptian. In other words, he was seeing one Egyptian man hitting a Jew. And he saw that there was nobody looking, he decided to kill the Egyptian. The halacha says that if a goy is hitting a Jew, he is chayav misa, he is liable for death. But yet, if a goy is hitting a goy, we are not allowed to interfere, we're not allowed to get involved. From the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu decided to interfere, decided to kill the Egyptian, we could deduce that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the Egyptian is hitting a Jew. Since the Egyptian is hitting a Jew, the halacha is, if a goy hits a Jew, he's liable for death. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was entitled to kill him. True that the halacha doesn't say that you could actually physically kill a goy when he hits a Jew. It says that he's liable for death, b'dei shamayim, in the hands of heaven. But yet, the pasuk here tells also that Moshe Rabbeinu did that. On pasuk 14, there it says, Halargeni at oimer, are you saying to kill us? Rashi brings down Mikan anu lameidim, from here you learn, shehargo b'shem ha-mefoirish, that Moshe Rabbeinu used Hashem's name in order to kill the Egyptian. Because it says, are you saying to kill us like you killed the Egyptians? Then you see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu used Hashem's name in order to kill the Egyptian. It was like that, a misa b'dei shamayim, a death by the hands of heaven. But nonetheless, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian that was hitting the Jew, that clearly proved that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that before Matan Torah, that we have the law of a Jew. So if you have the law of a Jew, then automatically Reuven's tshuva is accepted. If Reuven's tshuva is accepted, therefore you could say Yehi Reuven Val Yomus, that Reuven should live and not die. And that is very good, because the pasuk in Yecheskel, chapter 18, pasuk 32 says, Ki lo yechpoit b'mois ames, I don't want when the dead person is dead. In other words, when the evil person dies, I'm not interested. Numa Hashem Elokim, so did Hashem say, V'hashivu, let them repent, v'chiyu, and they will live. So we see clearly the pasuk says Hashem doesn't want in death. Hashem wants the person should repent and live. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is very particular in the words. By the blessing says Yechi Reuven ve'al yamus, that since Reuven did tshuva, he should live and not die. Exactly like the pasuk says that Hashem doesn't want the Rasha to die, he wants him to live. So did Reuven through his tshuva merit that Moshe Rabbeinu blessed him to live and not die, that Hashem accepted Reuven's tshuva. And according to what we just mentioned, that Reuven had the category of a Jew, and by a Jew, tshuva works, we could answer the famous question on the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah that we just mentioned, that Reuven came back to the pit, and we mentioned that he was busy doing tshuva besakoi tanisoi, the Medrash says, Omola Kodesh Baruch Hashem told Reuven, Me'olam, Lechoto Odom Lefonai, nobody ever sinned in front of me, v'osu tshuva, and did tshuva, and repented, v'ata potachto b'tshuva tchila, and you started doing tshuva first, Chayecho, therefore, Reuven got a reward, Sheben Bincho, that his great-grandson, descendant, Hoshea, Oymer depotech b'tshuva tchila, and starts and tells the Jewish people to do tshuva. It is obvious from this Medrash that the Medrash is telling that Reuven is the first person to do tshuva. But according to the Medrash, that is not true. The Medrash says that Adam Arishon came to Cain and said, what happened to your judgment? Cain answered him, Asisi tshuva benis pasharti. I repented and Hashem compromised with me that he's not going to punish me right away. He allowed me to live and he'll punish me later. Adam Arishon said at this moment, Kach koicha shel tshuva, tshuva is so strong, v'ani lo yadati, and I didn't know. So he got up and said, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, that a song to the Shabbos. From this Medrash we see that Cain did tshuva and Adam Arishon did tshuva. Then how can the Medrash say that Reuven is the first person to did tshuva? And we mentioned previous weeks a couple different answers. But according to what we just mentioned, we have an additional answer. Because we see that Reuven is the first person that was called a Jew, and the category of tshuva of a Jew is much greater than the category of tshuva by a non-Jew. Because since by a Jew we have the category of children to Hashem, and we have the rule always that av shemochel al kvoido kvoido mochel, a father is allowed to forgive his honor to his son. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he decided to kill the Egyptian, he showed that we are considered Jews before the Torah was given, since we are children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if we are considered Jews, we are children to Hashem. And if we are children to Hashem, then Reuven's tshuva is complete and accepted. Therefore, Hashem could say that Reuven was the first person to do tshuva, because Reuven is the first one that's Israel, is the first one that's considered Jews, because nobody sinned from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The first one to sin really and do tshuva and repent was really Reuven. But the Noahites, like Cain and Adam, which aren't in the category of Jews, their category is Hashem is the king. Ki melech al kol goyim Hashem, that Hashem is the king over the nations. And the rule is by a king, melech shemochel al kvoido ein kvoido mochel, that the king can't forgo his honor. So therefore, true, they did tshuva, but their tshuva is not fully accepted. Therefore, the Medrash is very exact. The Medrash says, ואתה פותחתו בתשובה תחילה, you are the first person to do תשובה, because Moshe Rabbeinu concurs with you. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, Yechi Reuven, Reuven should leave, because Reuven did tshuva, and the tshuva was accepted. So therefore, Reuven should leave. Therefore, Hashem also concurs, and Hashem says that you are the first person to do tshuva. True, there was Cain and Adam that did tshuva first, but their tshuva is not as accepted as your tshuva. Your tshuva is much more accepted than theirs. Are you going to ask me, how can you say that tshuva from a non-Jew is not accepted? We see clearly by the story of Yonah, which you just read Yom Kippur, that the city of Nineveh did tshuva and it was accepted. And the answer is that every time you sin against a person, you have two components of the sin. You have components between man and Hashem, man and God. You have the component between man and man. For the component between man and Hashem, that cannot be forgiven. But the component man and man, that could be forgiven if you rectify the sin. Another important rule to know is that Hashem, in His kindness, always tolerates the sin. Hashem only punishes a person normally only when he fills up the cup of tolerance, when he fills up the cup of sin. That's when Hashem decides to punish the person, either because Hashem wants to give him a chance to repent, or Hashem wants you to have free will. If you would punish you every time you do something wrong, you'd lose your free will, because you're not doing it because you want to follow Hashem. You're doing it because you're afraid of the punishment. But yet, when the cup reaches a certain limit, Hashem decides to punish you. As you could see clearly, that Hashem tolerates the sin from the pasuk that's written on Bereishis chapter 15, pasuk number 16. There it says, "Kiloy sholem avoyno amoyri ad heino." Hashem promised Abraham that the Jewish people were going to return the fourth generation to Eretz Israel, because the sin of the Amorite is not full until then. In other words, the Amorites are sinning constantly, but their sin did not reach the proportions that Hashem does not want to tolerate. Therefore, they got a reprieve until the fourth generation. But once the cup of sins reaches the level of going over, then Hashem punishes. According to this comes out that Nineveh, because they stole from one another, they had two different components. They had a component between man and Hashem, that you transgress what Hashem told them by stealing. And the other component, they had the aggravation that they caused between man and man, the sin that they caused the other person to worry and to be hurt. That component was also in the cup. And the cup with both components was getting full, and Hashem was about to destroy Nineveh. What happened? They decided to repent, and they returned everything they stole. So they removed the level of the sin that was between man and man. The level between man and Hashem, man and God, still stayed there. But the level that was between man and man, that was removed. And since that was removed, they received a reprieve. And the proof is that the pasuk in Yonah, chapter 3, pasuk number 10, there it says, "Vayar lekim es maseyem." Hashem saw their action. Hashem didn't see their heart, their repentance. Hashem actually saw their actions. Because since they returned what they stole, then they were able to lower the cup a couple notches. Consequently, they did not overfill the cup. Once they didn't overfill the cup, Hashem was willing to tolerate their sin. The Medrash eventually says that Nineveh eventually filled the cup, and eventually they were destroyed. But the story of Nineveh fits very well, that their actions, because they returned the things that were stolen from others, that caused Hashem to tolerate their sin a little longer, but that doesn't mean that their tshuva was accepted, that they got a full reprieve, or their repentance caused their sin to be erased. Hashem Yisborach should help that all the blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to all the tribes should happen to all of us, and we should all do true repentance like Reuven did. And like that, we'll merit to have Yechi. We should live and not die, because Hashem wants us to do tshuva. We should merit to have the bracha that Rehoboam HaSanor says, that Reuven got, that we should have spirituality and physicality in plenty, and be of the few that could handle both of them. And we should take this season of tshuva and simcha shel mitzvah, of happiness because of mitzvahs that we do on Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, and these holidays, we should take those merits and take that happiness with us in our heart. We should repent, me'ahava, out of love. If you do that, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come back, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheiru b'yameinu, amen.